right. Welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
Let's get started.
All right. Welcome back to the podcast to our listeners. I'm so glad we have listeners. I think we have 10, maybe 11 listeners.
Yeah. But you can still make it plural. We don't have, we have more than one.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that including the three of us or?
And our parents.
And our,
and our poor wives. I make her listen to it. And Jeff makes his kids listen to it, obviously.
I do.
But Justin, the intro sound, song sounds a lot like, are you singing that? Is that yours?
No, you don't want to hear me sing.
Okay. All right. Well, we are in, it's warm outside. I'm so thankful. I have been grilling out a lot. I've been cooking out a lot. You guys cook out a lot? Justin, do you know how to grill?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This you is look my like season. You're like a gas grill guy to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's easier. Still the same end product. Yeah.
It's easier unless you forget, you know, that you're cooking something and leave the gas on. That's what happened to me today.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So it was one of those Sundays, you know, you come home from church and you're like, oh, we don't even have leftovers. What are we going to do for dinner? You know, lunch or whatever. And so we get there and we found some pieces of rotisserie chicken, 5 hot dogs, and 1 chicken breast. And so I was like, ah, let's throw it all on there. Well, the hot dog and already cooked rotisserie chicken heat up really fast. And so I left the chicken breast on and went inside and forgot about it.
Senior moment.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. 3 hours.
Oh, I was done.
It was a briquette.
As well.
It was a, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that you didn't eat that?
I didn't eat that, but it provided a good laugh.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, I cooked chicken today, too. It's funny because I have chickens.
Or had chickens.
Well, no, I didn't cook. I don't cook them, but I cook their sibling. You know, I don't know. But I was grilling chicken, and they were out running around, and I was reminding them, "Hey, you don't lay eggs.
You're threatening them.
This is what's going to happen to you."
I wonder if they were like, "Right, ah, something smells good."
Oh yeah, they run over to me. They always run over to me because I'm the one that feeds them. Mm. So they're always looking for.
Just imagine you like everybody in my house lady for in Home Alone, the dove lady. You're like the chicken guy in your backyard. Yeah. Their chickens are just all around you.
Yeah. I've got 8 chickens. We let them run around the yard. I have to let, keep my dogs up, but then I'll put the dogs, you know, or put the chickens in and let the dogs out. So anyway.
You got too many animals, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm tired just hearing you talk about how many you have.
Yeah.
Let alone the routine you probably have.
That's good. No, it's good.
Do they all have names? Be honest.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how to. My daughter named them all, but I don't know how to like identify them anymore. She named them when they were chicks, you know, little babies, and they look way different now. But like one of them's name is Cluck Norris.
Wow.
Yep. So there's some interesting.
The bully. Have you seen like the little things that you can clip on this?
Yes,
arms?
The little arms.
Oh, those dude, are you so gotta awesome. Get those. Come on.
I send those videos to my kids, like when they pop up and they're like, bruh, why you send me this video? That's funny. I'm gonna get some of those and try it.
Yeah,
that would be
officially
awesome.
Officially both of y'all seniors.
Yeah,
you got.
Well, I
you're right behind us, Justin.
What am
right
I doing?
Hey,
us.
I want to take this moment to publicly apologize to my brother Jeff. I offended him today.
You did, man. That was rude.
It was a joke, but he took it.
I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. You walk up to me, grab the back of my arm, and says, "Oh, it feels like my dad's arm. How old are you? 80? Like, what is that?
Well, that's coming from Tommy because, you know, he's been meal prepping.
I've been working out.
Yeah. Meal prepping with a cupcake in his hand.
Yeah.
That was one time.
Low blow, Jeff. Low blow. Yeah. The one weekend he takes off, you would bring that up.
Well, it's because I hurt his feelings. Okay.
He did.
Listen, he's not mad at me. Yeah. I'm not his enemy.
If I have 80-year-old arms, I'm calling you out on your cupcakes.
I grabbed the back of his arm. I was like, "Hey, buddy, it's good to see." And I'm like, "What's squishy?" It's like
squishy.
It's like a bro. Like a fish.
What? This is getting worse. Okay,
we gotta, do you use that weight machine in your garage?
No,
this is a very weird apology,
right?
I thought you were apologizing.
I hear nothing.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That was good. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's get back to it.
You left us hanging last week.
I did. And I'm going to give everybody the answer except Tommy. So
well, I'm the one that needs it the most.
Let's jump into it. So we talked about, you know, there are dopamine hits for sinful choices, and that's why we run back to them, because it produces that chemical in our brain that creates that desire to run back to something. So my question that I posed was, how do you create dopamine hits for good habits? And so let's talk about that. What is it in your walk with the Lord that, you know, causes you to want to continue in it? Number one, because it is going against the flow. It is more challenging. It is more difficult to do the right thing and to stand on your convictions when everyone else isn't, you know? And so it's kind of the opposite of that highway that we talked about when you're going down that same pathway again that leads to destruction. That's an easy flow, but it's when you get off and try to do the hard thing and do the right thing. So how do you create that dopamine hit, that positive feedback that makes you want to continue to fight and to do the right thing? So,
well, I guess I'll start.
Hit it.
So, you know, for me, it's when I am every day in the Word, praying, I don't have the desire to do the other things that I don't need to be doing. I have a desire to glorify God. It becomes a part of me. I don't even know.
Well, tell me this, Tommy, because I feel like there.
I mean, I know what I want to say. I'm trying to get there.
But I feel like there are some people that will say, "Oh, well, I do that." And I still, you know, what is it that's changed? Because this isn't the first time that you've been in the Word or prayed.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, what is the difference? How do you do those things differently now than you did before?
I feel like we should start over.
I think, you know, and here's the thing, like you touched on something, Tommy said, you know, when you're in the Word every day and all that stuff, I do think, you know, if we're being honest with each other and then those that might listen and be at different spots, I think some people hear that and go, yeah, like every day, like I don't have time, all those things. So, you know, when you talk about like, what are those things? I think, you know, and we've talked about it, life happens, right? Like, you know, there might be a day where you didn't spend time with the Lord because busyness got in the way, work, you know, family, whatever it is. But I think it's really those good habits of like you begin to, over time, because none of this happens overnight, there is intentional action on desiring Him, His ways, His Word. And then over time, as that builds up, like you long for that, you know, and those are the practical things. You're like, man, I know I've got to spend time in the morning. There are some days that I miss, but the morning is the best time because I can do it before the day gets going, emails are going off, meetings are happening, right? All of those things. And I know the days that I've missed because it just feels different. It feels odd or off, or I didn't respond, you know, the way that, you know, I normally would when I've kind of had that sweet time with the Lord in the morning. And so I think it's setting that time, like protecting that time, versus just making it a every once in a while thing. And if anybody that's listening is being honest, when you've had those seasons of that sweet time with the Lord, you know those seasons. You long for those seasons.
Right.
Continue.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But see,
if you hadn't cheated this weekend, your brain.
Well, dude, I did cheat. Y'all,
the
I cheated.
Sugar rush.
Can we please clarify what you mean? I cheated on my diet.
Yes.
I did not count macros this weekend. I have eaten the cupcake, and I really don't care. Because I'm still working out and I'm going to start back.
I'm still going to meal prep on Monday. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Is that one of those like, I'm doing what I don't want to do, but yes. What I don't want to do, well, I'm doing.
No,
I'm eating the cupcake.
I wanted to. No, I'm fine. I feel fine about it. But let me just say this, back on topic. Have you ever taken a deep breath in and just as you exhale, you feel calm, you feel peace. And you feel relief. Have you guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? You just sit there and you don't have a worry. That's how I feel when I'm following and trusting in the Lord. I have a peace about me that I'm not hiding anything. I'm able to be used by him in a way that I wouldn't be able to be used, and even in my own mind, think of myself as a fraud if I was still had this secret sin going on. I'm trying to counsel with my friend, or I'm trying to lead my family. You know, that's, you know, it's the freedom knowing that I'm not hiding anything. And that alone has really brought peace to me and a joy to me.
Yeah. Okay. What else? What is it that makes you want to fight and create these trenches out of the ruts? You know, what trench have you created that, you know, is super motivating, right? For me, I know, Tommy, to your point, when I know that my relationship with the Lord is right, like there's nothing unconfessed that I can even dream up, right? There's no compromising. There's no justification of anything. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So that relationship is right. Then I feel like there's all of these, all my relationships, there's opportunities. I see things differently. I see opportunities differently. And then you walk in obedience and the Lord does what the Lord does. It's nothing to me, but it's because I'm walking in right relationship with him that now I have opportunity to speak into people's lives, see salvation, to see lives changed. And that is so motivating to me.
You're really seeing the Lord work, like
right,
physically seeing the Lord move and work.
Well, the age-old question is why am I here? What's my purpose? And when you see that purpose realized, it's glorifying God.
That's right. That was one of my memory verses that I had to keep repeating over and over and over. It's that I was made, yes, I was made to glorify him. Mm-hmm. And am I doing that? You know, and the way that really resonated with me in asking that question to the Lord became my life verse. If you know, what is a life verse? Someone, listen, what does that mean? Well, it's a verse or some scripture that I have found that I apply as the foundational verse in me, you know, for my life that mm-hmm. I keep going back to. And so mine is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me into the path everlasting." Mm-hmm. I almost forgot it.
Might want to work on that last part.
Is it life everlasting?
Yeah. Lead me, mine's, you know, the version I do. Lead me in the way everlasting.
Every way. Yeah. Okay.
You were close. Did you ask that before not meal prepping this weekend?
I did not look cupcake at my phone when I was reading that. Was
that
memory.
Cupcake messed him up, bro.
Yeah.
It did.
Well, and I think
I just
too,
looked at him weird and he's just laughing now because.
And here's the thing, too. Like, there's this, you know, everything, Tommy, you're talking about, right? And even the life verse thing, like, this is where. Whatever the thing is that's in our life, right? And we know we want different. And if we're honest with ourselves, even if only in our heart, like you're, whatever
you're,
it is.
You're saying whatever the thing whatever, that keeps us away whatever, from the Lord yeah. is.
Yeah. I don't yeah. know. Away from the Lord or distracted,
yeah,
whatever.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
All those things. That's where I think if we're being honest with ourselves, it's going to take humble surrender for that thing to not be a thing. And it may not happen overnight, but, and this is where, you know, you're talking about verses like Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. God, you will not despise a broken and humbled heart." The question is, like, if we know that there's this thing, will we get to the point where we go, you know what? I am tired of this thing or being distracted or not being focused on you. I'm humbly coming to you. And that, in what I've experienced, is where you get that peace that truly surpasses understanding, kind of that exhaling, like, man, I am finally like done being broken.
I think, well, yeah, there's definitely a start of brokenness where mm-hmm. we have the realization of how dirty we are compared to a perfect God. That is the brokenness part. And then the realization or the understanding that despite that dirt, despite that filth, he still loves us and he still wants us. And there is some relief in that. Mm-hmm. And then, as you say, it doesn't happen overnight, but these things, we really start to want to glorify him, not because of what he will do, but for what he's, because of what he's already done. And that desire to glorify him becomes addictive. If you're really, that may sound weird, but it becomes like this, because it's a peace and joy. When you talk, I love when people talk about the freedom found in the Lord. And someone may say, who's not familiar with that, well, you're giving up a lot of things. Like, you're not, you don't do a lot of things. How can you say it's freedom when you find the Lord? And I love, Jeff, the story you tell about you have small twins and having to build the fence.
Right. Yeah. We, you know, it was one of those things. We have a little creek in our backyard. And so, you know, as the twins started to become more mobile, we were like, okay, we got to do something about this. We need them to be able to play outside, but I can't sit out there all the whole time either.
Like,
so
put them on a leash, I mean, right? Without the fence.
Dude. Right. Yeah. We're not doing that. So, you know, so we built a fence and invested in that. And you think, you know, a lot of times, you know, people view Christianity as like this list of rules, things you can't do. And they view that fence as like a negative thing. But in reality, the fence keeps you from the evil, keeps you from going down these paths. And it gives you this, this sense of freedom of like, okay, here's clear set boundaries. Have fun. Enjoy this backyard now. There's not the fears of drowning. There's not the fears of wild animals, dogs, whatever it is. You can play at ease out here. And so when you look at things differently, it's like, hey, God is a good father. He wants what's best for me. So if he tells me that doesn't need to be a part of your life, mm-hmm. well, then I don't need to question that. There's mm-hmm. a reason behind that. And, you know, and I run to Romans 12, you know, we just did this study, and Romans 12, 9 kind of gives us the marks, right, of a true Christian. And this is, you know, some of the things it says. It says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. You know, and the list goes on. But that just goes to show you some of the marks of what it looks like. But the one that kind of really jumped off to me is the abhor what is evil. Abhor that sin, you know. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, if you know, we lay down at night and we think about the things, we reflect on our life, whether the Bible clearly says, hey, do not do this. You know, there's several things in there that, you know, the Bible doesn't mention. But we know what needs to change. We know what we don't want to be a part. So, Justin, to your point, we've got to be humble enough to say, Justin, I need your help. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want this anymore. But I got to tell somebody because I need you to hold me accountable. I need you to know what I'm doing and mm-hmm. what I don't want to happen anymore. And so I got to hate sin more than I love my pride.
Yeah. You know? Well, and, you know, one, when you mentioned sloth, I always think of Zootopia. Just hands down.
Yeah, I was wondering why you giggled and looked at me.
You know,
I did. I looked to my right. Sorry. You know, it just happened.
Little kids and Zootopia and the sloth typing super slow.
I've been working out.
That is the most clever part of it.
He's looking at me. I've been working out.
The sloth has nothing to do with you.
Thank you, Justin.
Do you feel convicted?
Jeff, he was shot his eyes over at me.
I'm sorry. And we're back. Yes. And, you know, I do think about, you know, something we've talked a lot about in small group over the years is, to your point, Jeff, there's a lot of things that the Bible may not specifically say, mm-hmm. right, about things. It's like, oh, well, that's not mentioned on the list, so it's okay if I've got this thing going on in my life or, you know, whatever. But if you can ask yourself the question, is this thing, like, is it wise? Mm-hmm. If you ask yourself that question, there's a lot that gets really, really clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so actually this came up in our men's group a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was really good.
And I just mentioned, hey, you know, there's lately I've been asking myself, and this goes into even areas in my life that someone may not classify, oh, that's not a sin. Well, it could be. Things that we don't think are a sin, if they... To me, it's if it doesn't help me spiritually, physically, or mentally, if it can take away from any or all of those, then I'm going to try to steer away from it. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, as you were talking about the fence and the creek, you know, if you hadn't put up that fence there,
right,
your twins would constantly, you know, be drawn to go over to the creek and over time, they'll get a little more comfortable with getting closer and closer to the creek, and they could fall in.
Right.
And it could be devastating then. And it immediately reminds me of the scripture in James 1, 14 and 15. And it says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." And I just think that that is just another really cool picture of how everything. Look, if someone tries to tell me that the Bible is man is written by man, you tell me one book that one other book that has all of this in it that talks about prophecy, and then that prophecy is fulfilled, and it's. How can that's yeah. It's
I tend to take like a always like a big. Micro like take it to the house type of view, you know. Tommy, you're the smart one on the show.
No, I'm not smart, but I'm a pilot. I look at it from a high view.
Oh my word.
Well, I have my pilot's license.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway.
I'm gonna leave that one alone. There's so many jokes coming to mind.
There is.
But what I will say is, you know, I think it's important for people to understand, like, you know, whatever the things that we're talking about, and we don't know what everybody has going on, you know, but God is the one that pursues his created, right? He created humanity. He pursues us. And so sometimes we get wrapped up in like feeling shame and guilt for the thing. And we don't, Jeff, to your point, bring things to people or to the Lord to be accountable, because there's the shame and the guilt. And so I think that's important to know, is like, man, God wants you to bring it to him because he wants you to experience a peace. Right. And not feel shame and guilt.
There's this temptation to fix it. Right. Mm-hmm. There's this like, I shouldn't struggle. This shouldn't be a struggle. I should be able to handle this on my own. I shouldn't have to get rid of these things. I should be able to.
Let me put something in place. So on my own accord.
Right.
Let me just do this or I don't, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's right. There are things that we will put in place. Mm-hmm. But if we're putting it in place, it's on our own, within our own desire, or it's within our own power to do it. What is that really the answer?
Yeah. I mean, I literally used this example in Zambia, and because they wanted to call things that weren't necessarily said in scripture, like, is that a sin? You know, tell us, is that a sin? And I was like, well, you know, let's look at it. And then I use the same examples that we just talked about. You know, is it beneficial? Does it glorify the Lord? Those are questions you should be asking yourself, not can I get away with this? Can I still have this be a part? I said, you know, so I pulled out my phone and I was like, is this a sin to have a phone? And they're like, no. I said, are there things that are sinful on my phone that I could do? Yeah. I was like, and sometimes it's not even the things that I look at. It's just that I'm looking at my phone instead of doing things that I should be doing, right? Like, so we can take those things and say, hey, am I using this for the glory of the Lord, or am I letting that be a distraction, you know, pulling me away? And so if it is, then, you know, I need to eliminate those things that are time consumers, time wasters, and find a different way to use my time. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's good, because, you know, I think about it so much, especially when everybody's in different seasons of life, too. Like, you know, the whole distraction thing's a big one, you know, about the phone and all that stuff. But it's just, you know, you think so much about, like, the dopamine hits and all that stuff, creating good habits, putting trenches, you know, creating trenches to kind of get out of the rut, all these things. Like, again, all of this is somewhat common sense stuff, but what actually makes it, you know, a thing and doable and seeing results is taking action. You know, first action between you and the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and like if you know there's this thing, you know, he wants you to bring it to him, not to make you feel guilty or shameful, because like he wants to deal with it with you and comes alongside you. And I remember hearing this thing from Matt Chandler when we were studying something on Psalm 23, and it was like, man, sometimes, you know, you're going through the valley and no one wants to go into the valley. Right. But the Lord never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's through us. He's with us through the valley as well and alongside us. But sometimes like those valley moments, like when we're dealing with stuff and then kind of we let it go, like that's sometimes that fertile ground for revival in our hearts, you know, and it's such a sweet picture because, you know, quite the opposite is what we think about in our flesh. It's like, well, I'm in the valley because I must have done something, or you know, I don't want to let go of this thing and it just keeps happening and I just keep doing it. It's like, man, let it go, right? Like, let it go. Give it to the Lord. Be honest about it. Be honest with your friends that can help you through things, even if it's just, you know, discerning God's wisdom, right? Like, sometimes that's what we need, and just good influences in our life that are going to point us back to the Lord and not just validate, you know, our own version of what we want to hear.
Right.
You know, like, that's huge. Yeah. I think that's been really cool to see, too, in the guys group is, you know, especially guys that have been coming in, is, like, they're seeing and reaching out through text when, like, somebody needs prayer or asking questions about what some might see as basic stuff that maybe we take for granted on believers should know, but it's the space to be able to ask these questions and learn and grow. And, like, that's the cool stuff that you see happening when you're around folks that are helping influence and walk in through this relationship. So,
yep. It's really good. It just kind of brought me back to just thinking about, again, you have to want it, though. You know, you have to want to change, and you have to, you know, be broken over the fact that, you know, that we are sinners, that we're not sinners because what we do, we're sinners because we were separated from God, you know, and he gave us a way to reconcile it back to him, and we've got to want that. And I just, you know, I have there's a place in my heart for men in general. I'm a man, so I'm just going to speak from that perspective. But there's a place in my heart that there's men that were there in the same place I was. I grew up going to church. I know the Bible stories. If someone said, "Do you believe in God?" Yes, I believe in God. I'm afraid if I would have died in that season, I would have gone to hell. Yeah. And that scares me.
Let me ask you this. Like, what would you say, though, to folks that are like, "Hey, I do want it, but it's hard. How do you do that?" Or, how do they take that step, right? Because that's the thing. Because, like, somebody could want it and feel the weight of just like shame and guilt, or I feel even in small things, like, I'm not spending time with the Lord anymore, and I'm busy and all that stuff. So somebody's like, "Man, I want it." Okay, well, what do you do?
Well, you know, for me, there came a crisis moment of belief that I had to recognize that I needed a Savior. And I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't fake it anymore. I had to take that breath of relief that we talked about earlier. It was like, I have to get this off my shoulders. And in that moment, the burden was lifted. And I'm like, man, now I have a desire. I want to glorify God. I want my life to be different from what it was. And so I have to do different things.
But would you say that after that, it's always easy?
No, and it's harder.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's hard. You're going to be attacked. Remember our enemy. Our enemy is not people. Our enemy is the evil spirit, you know, Satan, whatever. You know, that's the enemy. And you will be attacked, because the last thing that he wants is for us to become a tool for God. And he wants to break up the marriage. He wants to keep us in a rut. He wants to keep us, remind us of our sin, and we're not, you know, we're not worthy enough for someone to forgive us and things like that. Those are the lies that you have to replace with truth. And so it's not easy. So that was going to say, you know, the thing that you do is when you have to change who you talk to, you know, maybe you have to change your friends. Sorry to say, you might have to change your friends because they're going to lead you down a path of destruction, and you're trying to go the opposite direction. Okay.
Yeah. I think when you think about it, you think about addiction, right? Think about an addict. When they start treatment, like, it's hard.
It's withdrawals.
Yeah. Everything in it, that's what you've always run to. That's what provided what you needed. And now you don't have that. So you got to come up with something different. And so know that's a reality. And then number two, find somebody that's doing it and has been doing it, and teach me.
But
let me spend life. Let I me just, do life with you.
Before Justin cuts us off, because he's like ready to hit the button.
No, I actually like, have something to say.
Flashing. But okay, we'll hold it. Don't forget.
Why are you yelling at everybody over there? Man, you were.
Get it out.
You're even talking with your hands like you're just like.
I know, man. Like a leader.
Tell us, Tom.
No, it's. I forgot what I was going to say. I'm just kidding. It is this moment that, yes, you have to go through these withdrawals and these hardships. But here's what I want to say. Please listen. Turn up your volume. It will be worth it. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to sound really cliche, but it's true. Have you ever heard someone say, man, I regret doing all that, following the Lord? Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard? I mean, honest question I'm asking you.
No.
I mean, the serious question. No. Have you heard someone say, man, I regret drinking my life away? Man, I regret running around and getting, you know, the divorce or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's where, like, it comes down to
working too much.
Yeah. Sorry. No one's ever going to get to the end of their life and wish they'd done, like, all these other things, you know? And that's where I think if we get back to the purpose question that Jeff talked about, it's like everyone at some point, if they're being honest, has asked themselves the question, like, man, what's my purpose? Right. Like, you could be a husband, a wife, you know, a father, parent, brother, all these things, or whatever your title is at work and all. So you could be all that. But even at the end, like, none of that stuff is really, like, going to be full-blown, you know, sustaining. And so that's where it's like the identity in the Lord.
What legacy are you going to leave that will take the generations after you to a better place?
Well, I think if you think about it like an investment, right? Like, ooh, if you want a future, right, where you're provided for, you don't make one investment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what we want to do. I fixed it for now, you know, but you've got to do that continuously. And over time, you're going to see the fruits of that investment come out to benefit you in the end. But you have to stay consistent in that. And you have to have people that help you see that. The more you invest, the more you realize of how to invest wisely and where you need to target things and how to handle things. And that just grows into a future that's good. Yeah. And so in the same way, spiritually, like, the more you invest in your wife and in your children, you learn how to do that better and you become a better example of that. And then all of a sudden you got people to say, hey, teach me how to do that. Yeah. How are you doing that? And then you have opportunities. And so that investment grows.
Yeah. Especially people that are further along, like you said, you know, like the ones like, you know, I look to you, like we talked about it as, you know, how you were leading your kids as I had younger kids. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think also to what Tommy was saying, and I know Steve's mentioned this before, you know, talking about like God and his instructions and kind of, you know, may look at it as like, oh man, that's a lot of stuff that you got to do. And if you use the fence analogy with your twins, right, it's like, well, like God's designed, like he did these things and said these things because he wants to protect us, right? He has something better for us. And, you know, if you take like the, you know, one of the old like 10 commandments, right? Like, don't kill. Like, not only is that just a good rule of thumb, don't do it. But like, if you do it, like, it's also because his heart is for his creation. Like, he created humanity. So don't take what he has created. And so,
well, he says, don't murder. I just want to.
Yeah, don't murder. Don't kill. Yeah. You're a new King James guy. But that's the idea, right? Is like, again, don't look for all these things. Like, what does it say? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. It's like, man, like, who is he? Mm-hmm. What's he saying? And then sometimes when you're struggling, stuff, it's like, man, is this thing wise or not, you know, to glorify the Lord? And so
I think the thing, to wrap up this episode, I think the thing is like, you know, King David was a man after God's own heart, not because he did the right thing, but because when he realized what he had done, he sought repentance, which is repentance is renewing your mind. It's changing the way that you think about that and running back to the Lord. So I pray that you guys have been encouraged and that you are running back to the Lord. So thanks for tuning in.
I just
want
to say something real quick. No, seriously, okay. It's on my heart to say this because of what a lot of what we talked about could be convicting to people who are listening. They could feel bad about where they're at. I just want to speak some encouragement to people who are listening right now who feel stuck. You don't have to stay stuck. I promise you. I have felt stuck. Justin's felt stuck. Jeff has felt stuck. You don't have to stay stuck. And I want you to reach out to your friends, your connections, make new friends, your church, us. Just know that that God loves you.
Question, are you going to make a t-shirt? Don't stay stuck. That sounds like it could be a t-shirt.
No.
I'm being serious.
No.
I'm just saying.
No, it's true. There's freedom to be found in Christ. Find somebody that can walk through this with you. Don't try to keep it to yourself and let pride keep you there. So, guys, let's pursue the Lord with all that we are and don't let anything hold us back. Thanks for tuning in.